One of the worst abuses of the practice of organ donation was formerly the stuff of science fiction and horror books and movies, such as Coma and The Island, namely the plot that someone might be forced or induced to give up their organs while still living, or might be killed in order to obtain their organs after they had died. Unfortunately, the idea of compulsion or of inducements to sell organs is no longer the substance of fiction. It is an unfortunate reality throughout the world, and it is especially problematic and tragically dangerous for the poor. As I've noted in the introductory section of this webpage, in virtually every country of the world except Iran, it is illegal to offer financial inducements to prospective donors for live organ donation. It is universally regarded as necessary that if there is to be a live organ donation, the reason for this must be altruism, genuine concern for the individual who is suffering. However, the tragic reality is that there is in our world such a thing as organ trafficking, and despite the claims of organ procurement agencies, such as the one that is most common in my part of the world, One Legacy, which proclaims on its website that there is no organ trafficking in the United States, tragically, individuals have gone to prison after admitting that they have been involved in precisely this terrible activity, as we shall see. If you move down to the second paragraph of this webpage, I've quoted an article from the New England Journal of Medicine by Delmonico, Arnold, and Skepper Hughes, and we'll come back to Skepper Hughes shortly, in which they argue specifically against any relaxation of the restrictions on organ trafficking that exist in the United States. Of course, they would like to speak more internationally, but they are primarily in this article speaking to members of the medical establishment in the United States. And it's tragic to admit that there are individuals who would like to argue that it should be permissible to purchase organs, that people should be reimbursed for organ donation, and somehow the obvious fact that this would result in the exploitation of the poor seems to be swept aside or brushed aside. And that's precisely what these physicians are arguing against in their article. They note that the National Organ Transplant Act has made it illegal for any person to knowingly acquire, receive, or otherwise transfer any human organ for valuable consideration for use in human transplantation. Nevertheless, even though it is illegal in the United States and pretty much everywhere except in Iran, and we'll come back to that at the very end of this section, the shortage of organs from those who have died has led to a black market, and there is such a thing as surgical or transplant tourism, agents who will encourage people to travel to countries where poor people can be induced to pretend to be altruistically willing to donate their organs at institutions that are not willing to look very closely at the motives behind the donors. And again, tragically, it's not only in faraway places that this has happened. If you move down to the next section, Professor Nancy Skepper Hughes, if you find this subject of interest, I advise you to keep your eyes open for this name. Dr. Skepper Hughes is involved in research on the practice of organ trafficking and has devoted a great deal of time to it. And in 2008, she gave a conference in Austria, which I've quoted here. There was a news report that described some of the details of the conference, and if you drop down to the highlighted section after the description of some of the rather horrifying reports, for example, in India, where there existed a syndicate which not only attempted to pay people, but actually forced people at gunpoint to be willing to be organ donors. The report of Skepper Hughes was, as she puts it, "We don't really know how many people are trafficked for organs. A conservative estimate for the number of trafficked kidneys was 15,000 each year." And she points out that coercion that takes place in Eastern Europe, Turkey, Israel, India, and the United States in generally speaking, the most victims are coerced not by force. That is to say, it's not the kind of dramatic notion of someone being forced at gunpoint to undergo an operation, but are coerced by need. It is poor people who are being exploited and taken advantage of, much as we've seen in the case of women in India whose poverty forces them to become surrogates and egg donors. And again, most of the discussion of this issue has to do with the international trade in organs, but I think it's important for us to bear in mind that there is now documented, there is a documented instance of this happening in the United States. In October of 2011, an Israeli-American named Levi Yitzhak Rosenbaum, who was described in some of the news reports as a rabbi. He is certainly a revered member of his Orthodox Jewish community. Whether or not he was a rabbi in the formal sense is very much in doubt. Apparently he doesn't have the necessary qualifications to be called that, certainly in this country. But nevertheless, this individual pleaded guilty to organ trafficking. He attempted to broker the sale of an organ to someone who turned out to be a federal agent involved in investigating other kinds of corruption that existed at the government level in New Jersey and elsewhere. The shocking aspect of this is not only that he admitted it, but that he believed he was doing it out of good motives, and what effectively was happening was that poor individuals, particularly poor Israelis, were being offered approximately $10,000, were being flown to the United States, and then the transplants were performed at otherwise very, very reputable institutions. And there are a couple of individuals who are quoted in this report here who described that Rosenbaum presented himself as a legitimate facilitator of donor matches for Israeli patients and provided all the correct paperwork for the donor matches. He was, in fact, making quite a lot of money on this, charging $10,000, or I should say paying $10,000 to the donors and charging the recipients $120,000 or more. He pleaded guilty and was sentenced to several years in prison and had to forfeit a significant amount of property. The important and sobering aspect of this case is that it reminds us that trafficking in human organs is not something that is confined to very distant and what one might be tempted to regard as lawless or primitive parts of the world. It can take place in the United States. Individuals who claim to be acting out of altruistic motives may in fact be experiencing financial or psychological pressure. Psychological pressure might be, for example, if they are employees in the old country of someone whose patronage they depend upon for avoiding being deported or for a salary. All sorts of things can be present that can induce individuals to part with parts of their body. The latter part of this page is concerned with the terrible issue of international organ trafficking, which again is very poorly documented at present. I mentioned Professor Nancy Skepper Hughes, who is attempting to document many of these things and who was in fact involved in, or at least had informed the FBI of the activities of Mr. Levi Yitzhak Rosenbaum on the East Coast. She is attempting to document and work together with others in helping to clarify the international dimensions to this terrible and perverse crime. She points out and has pointed out that the international community is now finally beginning to consider trying to amass data on this subject, but to do so is very difficult because the individuals involved are very often either criminals who are not going to communicate with anybody who is clearly attempting to gather data on the subject, or they are committed individuals who decide for one reason or another that they are above the law, that the, quote, services, unquote, that they are providing are somehow so necessary to the recipients that they are not bound by ordinary ethics or legal strictures, and these individuals are unlikely to be cooperative with investigators either. But nevertheless, in November of this year, 2012, there was announced an effort in Holland, in Rotterdam, by the Erasmus Medical Center to, as they put it, map out the trade and involvement of criminals involved in organ trafficking. We'll see what this results in, but in the meantime, I've included several other fairly well-documented reports. In June of 2012, there was an article in the New York Times that described a Serbian couple who had become impoverished, who had recently lost work, and who hoped to be able to sell their kidneys on the black market in order to provide themselves with some measure of financial security. In January of 2009, there was an extensive article in Newsweek magazine that attempted to provide some statistics. They cited that the World Health Organization estimated that 1/5 of the 70,000 kidneys transplanted worldwide each year came from the black market. And in some countries, and they mentioned in particular Brazil, Africa, and Moldova, and there was also a discussion of Turkey, 60 to 70% of the transplant surgeries involved the transfer of organs from those countries' citizens to, quote, transplant tourists, unquote, who came from the developed world. In other words, wealthy people who come to poorer nations in order to obtain the organs of the poor in those countries. This is theoretically illegal in every country except Iran, but unfortunately, again, if a person pretends to be acting out of altruistic motives, the procedure can go ahead. And as the article notes, there have been such procedures arranged at institutions as reputable as Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York. And the same article highlights towards the bottom in the text that is highlighted in yellow that transplant surgeon named Tom Difflow, who became particularly horrified when he realized that some of his wealthier dialysis patients went to other countries to have their transplants done, namely China, and at that time, although China claims that this is no longer being done, kidneys of executed prisoners could be effectively purchased. And there's another instance cited of a second Berkeley anthropologist who has alleged that there are women in India being forced by their husbands to sell organs to foreign buyers to contribute to the family income or to provide dowries. And here, as always, it's extremely difficult to obtain reliable data, but it seems pretty clear that the instances that have been cited here are not just urban legends, but are in fact things that have happened, even though they happen in a kind of a shadowy back world for the most part, other than in the instances that we've mentioned, things that have taken place here in the United States. And I've included at the very end of this page the fact that in Iran, there is a legal trade in organs. Iranians may sell their kidneys to other Iranians, not to foreigners, at least in theory. And there is an institution, several institutions, that are supposed to work under the control of the Ministry of Health in order to regulate this. The average payment for a kidney in Iran is between $2,000 and $4,000, and the individuals who support this practice note with pride that there is no waiting list for organs. However, there is also no shortage of poor people in Iran, and as might be expected, the overwhelming majority of the donors are the poor. And with this, we'll end this section, reminding ourselves that at least at the present, the almost universal world consensus is that the only motive for donation of organs by live donors should be altruism, but that there are all sorts of circumstances and quite a number of individuals and institutions that are more than willing to take advantage of people whose circumstances make them vulnerable and who are then willing to circumvent the law and donate organs for gain.